I'm gonna start it. So how much is in the consolidated grant program?
How much is requested for
Well, first, how much is in that pot?
I'll take that question. It's about $15 million total.
$15 million. And how much is going to be requested from?
8.2.
So that leaves, you know, requesting half that would normally go to local roads and infrastructure.
Historically, in recent history, we've seen the consolidated grant program primarily distributed to local jurisdictions. That's really been since Measure D was passed in 2016. Prior to that, there was a significant amount of the funding through the consolidated grant program that went to regional projects. But that was a bit relieved when Measure D was adopted and some of that financial burden was transferred to Measure D. So there's in recent years, the consolidated grant program has primarily gone to local streets and roads with some funding for regional projects.
But like I said, thank you for the report. Short and sweet and to the point. Thank you. Yes, I really liked it. But another question for me was, so when will we know if the City of Santa Cruz gets the $20 million?
My understanding is that those grant awards are in December.
So short term. So that's a good thing. Commissioner Shiffrin.
Thank you. I have a number of questions. A few anyway. First, about the need for the final design. You said that there was a risk if the commission doesn't move forward with final design. Doesn't it mean how can we build the project if we don't have a final design? I mean, see, it seems to me, is it really just a risk or is it really killing the projects? I mean, if they're not designed, they can't be built no matter what they are. So am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, you need a final design to move forward to future phases of the project.
So the decision that the commission makes in November is going to be very critical in terms of whether these projects stay alive or not, with the potential of ultimately being built. The other question I want to talk about really is the underlying assumptions in the staff report. As I understand it, and please correct me, the CTC really, assuming that the commission is not able to come up with the remaining money to funds to build the projects as approved, the CTC has three choices. They can take the money back because we can't do the project as we proposed. They can reduce the amount of funding based on what we can do, the proportional one, which is pretty much what your analysis, if I am correct about it, or they could agree to give the commission the grant or the grants for the full 8 through 11, but recognize that they're insufficient to build it all the way and just let the commission build it as far as we can. And I asked county staff how far that could be. In other words, if we just used if the CTC was willing to allow the RTC to keep the grants and build the trail as far as it could be built, how far could it be built? And my understanding is that for an additional $4 million, it could be built to 47th Street. So much of the trail could be built, not really, probably in much of the city of Capitola, which doesn't seem wildly enthusiastic for the project anyway, if the CTC is willing to let the commission keep the full grant and just reduce the scope of the project. Am I understanding that correctly?
Doing the quick math in my head, it doesn't seem unreasonable that we may be able to extend it all the way to 47th should the CTC not make any changes to the funding or the federal government not make any changes to our funding.
Okay, thank you.
That's what you were thinking of.
It seems to me that those options haven't, that option hasn't really been before us, but it's all going to come down to what the CTC is willing to do. And as Commissioner Keeley mentioned before, following up with the CTC really seems to be the critical next step that we should really find out. What are they likely to do? Will they take it all back? Will they take proportionally back? Will they really let us build what we can build, given the reality of the cost increases. So anyway, those my questions and
Commissioner Alternate well. Schifrin, you are correct in that staff has not presented that information because in our conversations with CTC staff, we've been told that it's, you know, a proportional reduction. So that's what we're showing today. We do plan, obviously it's a negotiation, so we're going to hope to obviously negotiate as much as we can in our favor to save these grants. But that was kind of I just want to manage expectations that might not be possible, but we will try our best to negotiate.
And I'm not being critical of staff. I think based on what they've learned from the CTC staff, the CTC staff isn't the CTC. And the commission here has options for trying to alter that sort of staff sense. And I think this information is useful, but I think it there are other options.
And but we still under that scenario that you talked about, Commissioner Schifrin, we still need $5 million?
I'm sorry, what?
Did I understand that correctly? Under your assumption, or you know, we still need $5 million?
We need $4
million. $4 million, I'm sorry.
And my understanding is that does not assume using any Measure D money.
Got it. And
because I think, let me just say, I think it's critical that we not take any decision that would, you know, eliminate or even reduce the amount of money that we've set aside for the segments going to Watsonville.
And is that assumption with also the federal grant being on board?
Yes, it would assume that there was still maintaining the 100%.
How does that happen? I mean, we can have a conversation about, you know, CTC, but how does the federal...
We'd need to approach their staff and discuss scope changes with them in detail.
Thank you.
We've been cautious about our work with them because we were one of the few agencies that was awarded the RAISE grant program after the change of the administration.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Oh, Commissioner Conan, and then Commissioner Clark.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you, Chair, and thank you to staff for putting together this information, and mostly just want to kind of clarify some things. And there was a lot of information there, right? A lot of different options, and when we're looking at the overall scope of this project, how much do we have some idea how much we've spent or committed for the first seven segments of this? Was that 53% that was on that chart for city and county?
Yes, so we've committed about $35 million to the city and county projects to date. And then also for the North County, it is additional approximately $10 million for that. I've been referring to that as a regional project.
Okay.
But it is within the county jurisdiction.
And I appreciate the thought in presenting three different options, A, B, and C there. But how do each of these options then affect subsequent segments 12 through 18 for our friends in South County? And I'm really curious to know which of these options, A, B, or C, has the potential to provide the most transportation equity to our friends in South County.
So option C would reserve the largest amount of Measure D balance, active transportation balance that could be used on other segments, and it was about $21
million. Okay. And options A and B essentially leave nothing for South County
We would exhaust Measure D revenues, yes.
Okay. On page 5 of your staff report, you referenced an $8.2 million requested through the Consolidated Grant Program, right? Which Chair Montesino pointed out is half of that program. What's the contingency plan if neither that or the Measure D grant is awarded in November of 2025? And how might that affect the March 2027 Caltrans construction deadline?
Good question. So if we do not have funding to continue final design this fall, the final design work will be paused. We will not have sufficient funding to do that, and we will continue to seek additional funding from other outside sources. But as noted in my earlier slide about additional funding, there are project risks to that because you need to have the available funding through future funding cycles of programs. So we're waiting on that as well as aligning it with that 2027 deadline. And really we are, you know, this is a complex project. So trying to move forward through that final design in the time period we have right now is also already very tricky. It's tight. So to your point, it's a challenge and we would pause final design and need to seek other funding and try to come up with different scheduling opportunities.
Great, thank you. Now, this goes to, I think, some of the questions that the Commissioner Alternate Schifrin had here. But the report assumes a proportional grant loss, like, for instance, $80 million in option C there. And it's my understanding that staff has not yet consulted with state or federal agencies on the likelihood of this. And we haven't, or what would be the likelihood that they would negotiate with us to retain more funding if we commit to future phases?
I would be speculating, but I would say we have consulted with our state funding partners and they've given us the indication that it is a proportional reduction for trail miles. And as Commissioner Schifrin noted, is that is a staff conversation, not a decision of the board of the California Transportation Commission. We would need to do further investigation to determine what kind of reduction would occur through our federal funding partners.
Things. And I appreciate when I'm asking you some of these more scenario based, like what's the likelihood? I understand we're asking for speculation, but we're also relying on your expertise and sort of that gut level nuance that you have that we may not have here because you deal with those folks more regularly than we do. I have just a few more questions here if the rest of the commission here will indulge me. So in option C, the 1.5 miles to 7th Avenue, that minimizes our additional investment at $20 million, right? How might this, again, I'm asking speculation question here, how might this impact the Safe Streets for All grant that the city of Santa Cruz is going for, since this doesn't extend out to 17th Avenue? And could it lead to full deprogramming of that funding?
It's unclear to us how that would impact the potential application, I mean, the potential award of the State Streets for All. I don't know if you want to add anything, Matt, but I think we're... unclear at this point.
Hi, good morning, Matt Starkey, Transportation Manager, Santa Cruz. I think it's, I would make the assumption that we lose a significant amount of that funding or don't receive it at all. The Safe Streets for All program is really focused on crash reduction, and we've made the justification for that funding source by looking at all of the bicycle and pedestrian incidents that happen on adjacent corridors, such as Bromer, East Cliff, Murray, for example. So if we're not achieving those safety benefits, I don't see why the federal partners would fully fund that project.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, thank you for that. And again, what do you suppose some of the environmental implications of phasing would be? In fact, so for example, would subsequent phasing require recertification of the EIR, or could they be built on the existing approvals?
I'd like to return to the commission to answer that question. I do believe we could rely on the existing environmental documents to phase the project. We've seen that in other locations, but I'd like to more thoroughly examine that and return to the commission with any full answer to that.
And again, this one is more speculation here, but I'm just trying to get a feel of things, sort of what kind of wiggle room do we have? How likely is it that state and federal funders will approve phasing in this or other scope changes without reducing or eliminating or deprogramming already committed funds?
Our expectation as staff is that the funding would be reduced proportionally. Okay. Based on the project phasing and that we would have to commit to future programming, a future or subsequent phases. And we've seen that most recently, I think project manager for the county of segment 1011, Rob Tidmore, had pointed out an example of where that's happened in San Luis Obispo most recently.
Okay. So if we pursue phasing, how long might it take to secure approvals from our funding agencies on scope changes? And could that process itself cause us to miss that 2027 construction deadline?
What would be time frame from then? I was going to say 3 to 6 months. Yeah, we don't have a time frame for that, but I would say approximately at least a minimum 3 months.
Okay, that's fair. Thanks. Is there a contingency plan if the March 2027 deadline for completed design and right-of-way certification is missed? And if so, what's the plan?
We do have the option to request extensions, both for final design allocation as well as for construction allocations. And so we would pursue those extensions. Those are, again, subject to approval by the California Transportation Commission. And they're we've seen before, they are highly scrutinized.
Okay. And I'm not offering to volunteer any funding from my partners here, but I'm just out of curiosity, could the project sponsors, City of Santa Cruz and the county, could they commit additional ATP funds from their allotment to close the funding gaps if they wanted? Again, my friends, I'm not volunteering your funds here, but I'm just curious if that is a possibility that could be discussed.
Both the cities and the counties have their own funding sources. In part, they come from one of those funding sources is the neighborhood portion of Measure D that's directly allocated to them. And the City of Santa Cruz in the past and is currently committing some of those funds to development of these projects. The County of Santa Cruz has committed $1.5 million to these projects as well through those neighborhood funds. They also have other funding sources that could be utilized for this effort, of course, subject to their council and board approvals.
Now, as I understand it, the all of your hard work on the value engineering kind of got wiped out by cost and bid increases on this, right? Sort of a bummer. But are there still other opportunities available for value engineering, and could they help us close the gaps? For instance, what if... And just for clarification here of my question, everything that we've talked about here in each of these options, A, B, and C, assumes the ultimate trail, right? So what if in this we decided to go with interim trails, say, on bridges? And how might that affect it? And is that a value engineering thing that we could do that would maybe save us some cash and provide funding for our South County friends to have a trail?
Thank you for that question. We've at a high level tried to look at where we might be able to provide kind of a hybrid solution, our design, I would say, to development of the trail. The bridges are an obvious one, particularly given the questions recently around temporary use of the Murray Street Bridge, which has been of interest to the City of Santa Cruz particularly. When we looked at the cost, it really would not come close to closing that funding gap, though, by just eliminating the construction of new bicycle and pedestrian bridges or cantilevered bridges over our riparian areas and waterways. It would not close the funding gap.
But it would save some funds. It would save construction costs, right?
It would reduce the total cost, apologies, but it wouldn't close the funding gap that we have by a long ways.
Now, my last question, I swear. And thank you for my commissioners.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah. Thank you for my commissioners for indulging here. I'm just trying to get an overall scope of this, and I really appreciate staff's work on this. So you had mentioned earlier that a 20% match was assumed on future grants, right? Is it possible that actually a greater local match would be required? 20% is... It's pretty generous on our half of this, right? But I think we've seen grants here, and one of the funding scenarios that we had asked for is give us some funding scenarios for up to a 50% local match. Are those possible, or do we feel like 20% is where it would potentially land?
That's a good question. It really depends on the funding source, but I think 20% is a fair minimum to assume. Our projects have been very competitive for a number of reasons, and one of them is project readiness, which requires a lot of investment up front. So that doesn't specifically answer your question in terms of match, but a lot of grant applications allow us to use that upfront cost to leverage it as part of the match. So then one way, that's a portion of your match. And then, you know, the higher the match, I've seen that your project is more competitive for funding. So yeah, I think 20% is a fair minimum to assume. But there are some grant programs that don't require any match, but there's a few and far between. And even then, you still have to be competitive and be receive the grant.
Yeah, let's find more of those, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your indulgence in my questions.
Yeah. Since you asked quite a few questions about alignment and funding, I just wanted to see if Matt or Rob had anything that I wanted to add that I missed. Anything? Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Koenig.
Thank you, Chair. For starters, I just wanted to kind of clarify and make sure we have some sort of basis of comparison for these different options. But if I'm, is it, how would you staff characterize sort of the option that Commissioner Schifrin suggested that we hope that the CTC just let us keep all the money? I mean, like the risk on a low, medium, or high, is that like a high-risk option, a low-risk option?
I think we would start there to try to pursue that option. Based on what we've seen with other projects, I don't think that is likely, but it's unknown. And it's not just up to the staff, it's also up to the CTC board. So we're just basing on what we've seen with other projects and our conversations. But I think as Director Christensen mentioned, we'd like to see that as a starting point.
I mean, it sounds like, sure, maybe the commissioners themselves have a different take on staff. My experience, it is sort of hard to win a majority when you're fighting a staff recommendation. Helps to have the wind at your back. And we all, I think in every commission or agency, rely on our expert staff as just that, our experts who know more about the situation. So I'm, you know, frankly not optimistic that we're just going to get to keep all the money. A prayer is not a plan. I think we should probably come up with a better idea. I mean, of the three options presented today, option A, B, and C, I mean, option A is not feasible. It says so. You said so yourself. We don't have enough money for it. So that's really not an option. Option B is close to feasible. I believe that still means infeasible. So really the only option that's feasible, at least with what we know today, would be option C, going to 7th Avenue. We consistently talk about this project, the rail trail, as connecting communities, as connecting our entire county, not just connecting the city of Santa Cruz. I mean, and yet under option C, you would basically see no trail throughout any of Live Oak, throughout any of Aptos, throughout any of Watsonville. So, I mean, this is a non-starter. These options certainly don't work for me and my district, and I'd be surprised if they work for many of my colleagues. Commissioner Clark was starting to tease this out, but is there another option? I mean, the elephant in the room here is the interim trail. How much money, and I hear that it doesn't make sense to do it in some places rather than others. I mean, that's because pretty much the whole corridor is built around the place where the tracks are. So if we were to rail bank, you know, how much trail could we build and how much would it cost?
Well, any type of change to the project design would also require approval of the scope, which we've talked about before, so I'm sure you're aware of. We, based on the cost estimates that we've come up with as staff and provided by the city and county, we could, should the scope change be approved, we think we could potentially construct the interim trail for the length of segments 8 and 11. But I'd like to come back to you if that's the direction of the commission with further analysis of what that would look like.
And do we have any estimate? I mean, would there be any savings in that case? I mean, or does county staff have any more information on this? I mean, I know we're actually designing these segments, so.
Sure, I'm happy to defer to them.
Yeah, good morning, Chair, Commissioners. Rob Tipmore, Principal Planner and the Project Manager for Segments 10, 11. So I think I mentioned this briefly last time at the September RTC meeting. We have cost estimates for the interim trail that are from 2023. The exercise in all of this analysis that we've been doing as staff, both at the RTC, the city, and the county, trying to figure out how much these various options are going to cost, we did our own sort of internal analysis of what the escalation and the cost increases for the interim trail would be based on the escalation numbers that we're seeing now and based on some of the larger bid item increases that we saw between 2023 and 2025 for the ultimate trail, mainly lighting and electrical, because that price went up significantly. So based on those sort of high-level estimates, we calculated that we could build the interim trail, again, assuming approval of scope change at the CTC, for $107 million between the two projects, so the four segments, and we have $133 million roughly in funding. So there is potentially a $26 million budget left over.
Wow, that's significant. I mean, we're looking at in a worst case scenario that we've already been presented, going to 7th Avenue and still needing to come up with an additional $20 million, or building everything and saving $25 million. I seem to remember that the Capitola Trestle, we'd estimated that refurbishing that for bikes and pedestrians would be $6-7 million. I mean, granted, that was a few years ago. We'd have to look at cost escalation as well, but, you know, that's maybe $10-12 million or something in that ballpark. So we could potentially complete that segment as well, and solve a lot of the issues that we're seeing in Capitola. And I hear that staff saying it would require a scope change, requesting that at CTC. This is kind of what I was getting at. How would we characterize the nature of that scope change in terms of risk and their likelihood to approve it versus building less and hoping to keep the same amount of money? Right. I mean, the other options are what's the risk to losing the grants in a scope change where we build the interim trail?
I think that's unknown at this time. I would, if we were directed by you to pursue that, they would have those discussions with the CTC staff and try to further assess the risk. But I think from staff perspective, anytime you have to go to a governing board and ask for a change in your scope, there's a risk in terms of one of the things that we contemplated, and I think you were on the commission at this time when the applications were submitted, is that the applications were evaluated based on the benefits of a trail. So from staff's perspective, the project benefit of constructing the trail from the perspective of the CTC, we would still be able to argue that we would maintain the project benefits as defined in the grant application. That is our staff perspective. We would need to continue those conversations with CTC staff.
Right. Okay. So substantially we'd be able to provide the same benefit, maybe even greater if we have savings and can extend the project in certain places. Sounds to me like that would be a lower risk than actually delivering significantly less benefit than we promised to in the first place. Finally, if we were to go with option C here or something where we build less trail, would that potentially be like a black eye on our record where if we go to apply for grant funding for future segments, like say in Aptos or Watsonville, that we'd be less likely to get the funding because we were not able to deliver on previous grant awards?
That's a great question. I think from my perspective, what the Calvert Transportation Commission might be looking at is how we would fulfill our commitment first for the previously awarded segments, 8 and 11. I don't know that for certain, but it seems to me they would maybe at least want to see that we were committed to completing those previously awarded projects, and then before pursuing funding for additional projects. And yes, project delivery is something that was always looked at in our grant applications. They ask you if you've had agreements with state and federal funding agencies before and have you been successful. So it is something that they evaluate typically in grant applications.
Okay, thank you. I guess just final comment is, you know, the entire community, the entire county pays Measure D sales tax, right? And so the idea that, and we've promised that we'll build a trail throughout the entire county. I think the proposal, the idea that we would instead stop at 7th Avenue and say, hey, we're out of money for basically the next 20 years on the existing measure, sorry, I think that's untenable. I mean, I think that's a violation of our promise to voters, you know, let alone the funding agencies, and just doesn't work. I mean, so really the only viable option that I see here is, you know, the one that wasn't listed explicitly in the staff report, but that is the interim trail. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Martinez and then Commissioner Schiffel.
Thank you for the report and for all the work that you've done to show us where we are today. I want to agree with Commissioner Koenig in that all three options are not ideal, right? I think we all, everybody in this room can agree that this isn't a pretty picture. It's my understanding that we aren't in a position to make a vote or decision on this today, but this is an informative item, so it's really helpful to remember that. And thank you for bringing us to this point. What I'm seeing is that the report has come to us with a set of assumptions. You laid those out really clearly on one of those slides. And between Commissioner Alternate Schifrin and Commissioner Koenig, you hear sort of poking at those assumptions in two different directions. And my hope as a commission is that if we're going to start exploring alternatives and challenges to the assumptions here, that we explore all of them, right? I don't really see a difference between asking the CTC for a scope change to keep all of the funding and deliver through 47th Street versus asking the CTC for a scope change for an interim trail. Those are both dramatically different requests, you know, changes to the projects that they've approved. And I think that if we're going to start pursuing alternatives, I'm hoping that this commission can agree that we'll pursue all of them with, you know, full effort. And I really, as somebody who has, I've been a CEO of a very large publicly funded organization, so I understand what it means to apply for a grant, have grant requirements, and fight like heck to meet the grant requirements within the scope of which I have approved, right? I get that. And I also know now in my seat as a policymaker that there are decisions that happen at the state that sometimes are beyond the staff level. And my hope is, you know, we have incredible representation here locally at the state level of leaders who are committed to seeing this project through. So my hope is that the commission can also agree to start working with our state legislative officials, our state representatives, to start exploring where the flexibility in those assumptions are, to get clarity on what's possible, so that way we can start making informed decisions as early as November and December about how we're going to proceed with this project. Because I think we all agree that our community wants a trail. We have committed to a trail. We need to make this happen. Getting to 7th Avenue or whatever is not sufficient. And leaving no money for the future is not sufficient. And so I'm hoping that we can start making progress by poking at those assumptions with our leaders. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Schifrin.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify one aspect of the sense that the interim trail would simply need a change in the scope by the CTC. Would it not also require abandonment of the freight easement and approval of that by the Surface Transportation Board, followed by a subsequent approval of the Surface Transportation Board of a rail banking proposal?
Thanks for bringing that up. Yes, I was focused on the funding side of things, but yes, there would be other regulatory steps that we would need to take that would allow for building the interim trail, as you described.
And, you know, my sense is there's a disagreement, and we've heard it a little bit this morning. Some people think, well, it'll be very easy to get Surface Transportation Board approval and all could happen quickly. Other people feel it could take years and years. There could be lawsuits. The current holders of the trail, the rail easement, feel that there's a case that can be made for freight on the line if the commission would only fix up the line so it could be used for freight. So I think that it's, from my perspective, not realistic to just sort of think, well, all we have to do is go to the CTC, and if they say it's okay, we're fine. I don't disagree that it would be cheaper if we could do it. But on the other hand, if we get stuck in a 2-4-5 year battle to get approval for adverse abandonment, assuming that there are votes on the commission to essentially abandon rail on the line, which I don't support, but that's one of the other consequences to, you know, abandon the trail easement, and to go forward with the interim trail means realistically that there will never be rail on the line. And that's a decision that I think is a very significant one for the commission to take, especially given the vote of the on the last Measure D and the support for rail in the community, despite its cost. So I think it's important for the commission. I agree with Commissioner Martinez that we need to explore all the various options, but I think we have to explore them realistically. If there was consensus that building the interim trail was fine, then going to the Surface Transportation Board, getting their approval, assuming they could do it within a reasonable time frame without opposition, would, you know, it would be worth considering. Although I still think there are real questions about whether this community would really like to give up the possibility of having rail on rail service on the line. But at this point, I think it just needs to be made clear that going forward with the interim trail does not simply mean scope change with the CTC. It means a protracted battle at the Surface Transportation Board with an uncertain outcome.
I got to get Commissioner Lenore, I think.
Wow, this is a tough discussion to hear and to agree to what's happening with not just the North County, but also South County. South County, oh, I'd like to thank Commissioner Clark for bringing South County up and advocating for us, because I feel like South County has been left behind in some of this discussion. So I'd like to give a little bit of my thoughts to what I think right now. So when discussing transportation and equity, it's essential to recognize that every community deserves access to safe and healthy and efficient travel options. I think we can all agree that having a reliable rail system would be excellent, especially for those commuting from South County. And I commute to I commute from South County to Bibb County and North County every day on the bus. However, I understand that currently building in rail is not feasible for the RTC. And it is important that we listen to what the community truly needs. It's not about leaving a legacy on what we're going to build here. It's about addressing the current needs and desires of our community. We need to find common ground and believe that starting with a trail is a great first step, while preserving the rail for development. It is a way to enhance our community's connectivity, promote active transportation. I want to highlight that Watsonville deserves attention. South County, they need it too. It often feels like the focus is mainly on Santa Cruz and Capitola, where it's clear that they have their own plans. While that's important, we cannot overlook the needs of South County. We need to advocate for all areas equally And that's a start with moving forward on projects that directly benefit our communities. Today, I would like to urge the RTC to expedite funding for building segments 17, 18, and 19 of our trail. Let's turn this reality for Watsonville and ensure that our community has a say on the process. And this is a really tough discussion. It's a lot of information to take in. But the reason I'm here is because I'm here to advocate for my South County and everybody. I love all of, from Scotts Valley to Watsonville, but we've been left behind. So please, let's work together and find a better way to fund this these three segments of the trail. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. And seeing no, well, Commissioner Jensen.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I appreciate your passionate speech. And I applaud you for expressing Watsonville's needs. With that, and not to undermine your speech, but I do have a couple of about five questions that I like to just ask as a new commissioner. I get asked a lot of questions and I don't have all the exact answers. One thing that I haven't heard a lot of discussion about since I've been attending meetings is if miraculously this whole project was funded, how the operation costs of this project runs. And I've heard the numbers like $40 million. And I know it's a little bit out of our scope today, but what does that look like to the communities if this was completely funded just for operational costs? I asked me like $40 million. What would that look like?
Are you specifically asking about trail maintenance costs in terms of operating the trail once it's completed construction?
Yeah, rail trail or just trail. I mean, how does that look?
It's been a while since I crunched those numbers. So the last time we worked on that with the city and county, we looked at about $32,000 per mile for annually for maintenance of the trail. And so we've assumed that for future sections of the trail. However, it is not programmed as part of our Measure D. We do have funding agreements for the trail segments that are open to the public with the cities, and we have an agreement with the county for the North Coast. So that's kind of a long answer, but yes, we have not fleshed out how long-term maintenance would be funded of the trail. And right now, some of that is funded through Measure D.
Just to clarify, Ms. Blakeslee's answer was basically $32,000 per mile per year for the annual maintenance cost for the trail. That's what...
Thanks for clarifying.
...referring to.
Thank you. The next one, where do we have easements along the rail for just trail only, for trail purposes only?
We have provided a map back in February 2022 identifying locations where there are easements, where the RTC owns easements for rail on the rail right of way. The sections that we're speaking to today, 8 and 11, there are not easements that and no additional rights would need to be purchased to construct a trail.
Okay. All right, I'll skip on to my next one. Could rail banking allow us to build the intra-trail without attaining additional right of way in these areas? And what would that long-term approach be?
So, for the interim trail, it would essentially likely result in the elimination of many right-of-way needs for the project. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I mean, so the interim trail would have less impact on what the needs are if the full rail trail was built.
Correct.
What would the financial impacts and benefits be if we see an interim trail built? And as such, what right way acquisitions or approach to mitigation, such as the mobile homes, parks, and environmental impacts, be on phasing?
Do you want me to generally answer? Just generally speaking, that the ultimate trail. Just to clarify, the footprint is larger because you're trying to squeeze the trail next to the rail line. If you were to utilize the rail corridor itself, it would be a much smaller footprint, which would result in less environmental impacts. It would result in less right-of-way needs. And then it would largely remove the direct conflict with some of the encroachments, illegal encroachments we have on the RTC right-of-way. But it would not, result in us not pursuing the resolution of those encroachments because they still, encroachments still remain on our line and our right-of-way, and it is our policy to remove them. It would just be potentially, we would have more time to do it, potentially. We would have more flexibility because we wouldn't be up against these funding deadlines, because we do need, currently with the Ultimate Trail, we need those encroachments removed in order to secure the right-of-way to build the improvements, because there are some direct conflicts out there.
Okay, so just recap my understanding. So on the intern trail, if it was done in where we have conflicts on, like let's just say Castle Mobile Home Estates or Fluent Gold, as the stance is on the RTC to correct those would be corrected in a longer term process other than immediately because of the direct time frame of what the project is?
We could have more flexibility from a timeline standpoint. And I apologize, we're not super prepared to answer very detailed questions about the interim trail and rail banking, because we are preparing for bringing more information back to the commission later this year as directed at the last RTC meeting.
Yeah, I apologize for the pointed question, just mostly about context, just a question I get asked by my constituents and stuff like that on the importance of this matter on both what it looks like for the ultimate and intern trail. So that's all the questions I have today. Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing Commissioner Cox.
So I just had one more brief question. So, I mean, the most immediate thing is this. At our next meeting, I assume we're going to be asked to allocate another $8.5 million or so for design work for the trail. How does that situation look, if we were to ultimately pursue an interim trail option? I mean, do we still need the same amount for design work? I understand, obviously, you were talking about a lot less retaining walls, a lot less bridges in that case. So perhaps the design work is less expensive. What's the timing on, when that would be needed? Can you share any more information?
We would anticipate that the design cost would be less, but we have not come up with a plan to cost estimate specifically for that or a time frame. But you could direct us to do that, and we could return with that information.
And could the additional design needs be paid for out of savings, that the $25 million or so in savings that we potentially see, or because of the way the grant structured with only so much for the design phase of the project, is that not possible and we still have to come up with local money for it one way or another?
The RTC could direct some of the Measure D that's previously programmed in future years for construction to design of an alternative design for the project, including the interim trail.
Thank you.
Commissioner DeSerpa.
Thank you. So thank you to my fellow commissioners. Most of my questions have been answered, but just for the public's sake, I do want to cover one more thing. So in scenarios A, B, and C, the money that would come from Measure D, we would bond against the future earnings of Measure D. Is that correct?
Yes, future revenues of Measure D. It's active transportation category specifically.
And that particular, some of that money is used now for a competitive grant program, right, where all the different jurisdictions compete for a piece of that. No,
that's a really good question. So we're talking about two different funding pots, and we're bringing them both to the commission next month, so I could see how there could potentially be some confusion. But the Measure D Regional Active Transportation Plan category is separate from the Consolidated Grant Program. And the Consolidated Grant Program is discretionary money that comes to the RTC from a variety of sources, and local sponsors have submitted applications for that. Local jurisdictions also receive a direct allocation of Measure D, and we call it the neighborhood category. That's separate from the Measure D active transportation category.
But it sounded to me like the RTC was putting in a grant, right, for $8 million.
Thank you for
clarifying. Also, competing against local jurisdictions for a piece of that small pie.
That's correct.
For the projects. Yeah. So I guess, you know, and I've raised this concern before, but, you know, 50% of the population in this county lives in the unincorporated areas. I cannot tell you how many constituent complaints I get on a daily basis about the fact that their roads are in very, very poor condition. When will they be resurfaced, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know what to say to these people anymore. You know, I've got constituents waiting for a road that hasn't been resurfaced in more than 60 years. My own road has 8 storm-related areas of concern, and, you know, just multiple complaints. And it's not just my district, it's across the county. So I just want to just bring that forward again, that our surface roads in our county need repair, and to be pitted against each other, to be pitted against the city of Scotts Valley and Capitola and Santa Cruz to, you know, get a very small allocation is difficult. So I look forward to hearing more in the upcoming months about option 4, which actually isn't in today's packet, and that would be building the interim trail using rail banking to preserve the rail line and what that might afford us. It sounds to me like we have enough money to complete potentially the entire trail down to Watsonville if we went in that direction. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Just one other comment, not a question. You know, this whole, I think we absolutely need an option 4 here. But here's where it gives me heartburn is we built a very nice trail in North County. It's great. It's good. And it really bothers me that now what we're looking at for South County is something less than what we built in North County. You know, South County deserves every bit as nice a trail, whatever option we go with, and however we can preserve money to do that and deliver that, I think we owe it through to all of our South County friends and through the rest of the county areas as well, including the city of Watsonville. And so that's an option that I would like to see included there in an option 4. And, you know, wherever we need to make sacrifices to do that, I think we need to. Much like my other commissioners have mentioned, I'm not doing cartwheels over the fact that, you know, the RTC is competing against other cities for the consolidated grant program and up to half of that, because I'm very aware of the need for our own construction projects and our own, you know, individual city needs in there as well. And so I'm not comfortable with us competing for that because we've overspent on what we've built so far. That gives me a great deal of heartburn. And so I just hope that as we consider options going forward, that we consider not impacting funding for cities, for our own construction, our own roadway projects, our own active transportation that's going on. And 2, we consider building every bit as nice a trail for our South County friends as what we've built in North County.
Thank you. I think Commissioner Vanesquilos Carter had her hand up.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say thank you to staff for presenting us with these options. One thing that gives me heartburn is when people who don't live in South County and don't work in South County and don't commute sit here and talk about what we should do. It would really be great if people could stay in their own lanes and their own municipalities and not try to tell Watsonville what to do. That's why we're in the situation that we're in, is because people who don't live here and don't work here and don't ever spend time here try to tell us what to do in our municipality. So I would just like to say that. And also, we're not a monolith, so people are going to have differing opinions, and I really don't appreciate people speaking for me. So I don't speak for Capitola or Santa Cruz or any other jurisdiction other than my own. Thank you again to staff. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Scherfin. And then we're going to go out to the public.
Just very briefly, I think the whole commission has been supportive of going forward with South County Trails. It is a problem that they have not been pursued. But on the other hand, we don't even know what they look like. We're still waiting to get the report from the rail study that's going to outline what it is. What the trails could be. And I think that is the next priority. The projects that were done and the grants that were approved were for the part of the county where most of the population was. That was the mid-county. And there's no question, and this commission has supported the South County projects when they were brought before the commission. And I think the commission as a whole has been very supportive of moving forward with the segment 7 through 18, once we know what those segments are. And I totally agree that money has been set aside in Measure D and should be set aside in order to try to make those, do what we can to make those segments come to construction. So I think it's sort of false to make it seem like somehow North County is trying to victimize South County and we don't really care about them. I think it's been a process of trying to figure out what are the, what are the costs of doing the segments in South County? How can we work with how can the commission work with the South County jurisdiction, the city of Watsonville, to make those projects move forward? Thank you.
With that, I'm going to go out to the public. We'll like